Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with David Kapelian, who's a best-selling author. In fact, he wrote the books The Marketing of Evil and How Evil Works, and now he's come up with The Snapping of the American Mind, Healing a Nation Broken by a Lawless Government and Godless Culture. And David is an award-winning journalist. He's a vice president and managing editor of WorldNet Daily. And David, it's a great honor to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Jerry. It's good to be with you.
Okay. First of all, explain to us this title. What does that mean, The Snapping of the American Mind?
Well, you might remember about 30 years ago, there was a very famous book. It was a number one bestseller called The Closing of the American Mind.
Mr. Bloom.
By Alan Bloom.
Right.
And, you know, the first sentence of that book basically decried the fact that if you talk to any incoming college student, they would tell you, in essence, that there is no truth. There is no reality. There is no objective standard of right and wrong. Everything is relative. You have your truth. I have my truth. You know, look, you believe 2 plus 2 equals 4, and I believe 2 plus 2 equals 97, and we should accept each other's truth, and then we'll have a happy world. It doesn't work out that way, okay? And so here we are 30 years later, and the what we call the progressive fundamental transformation of America, this is all sort of code, political correctness, it's all code. What does it really mean? It means that there is an insane rebellion against God and God's laws that has taken root and has basically, swept over America and the West. Obviously, we're seeing what's happening in Europe and the UK right now. It's basically committing suicide with their, Muslim migration and so forth. But in this country, we have, conservatives, Christians talk about how the left has taken over various institutions like the news media and Hollywood. But even there, it never really gets down to what it really is. The truth is that there is a God. There is good, there is evil, and we live in a moral dimension, and both good and evil are trying to recruit us, so to speak, all the time. Mm-hmm. And this is the realm we live in. It's not an old myth, okay? It's actually truth. It's what our nature is and our origin and destiny and all that stuff is wrapped up in what we are. We are created by God for a certain destiny, but there's temptation and evil in the world, and it's pulling on us and it appeals to us. All these things that sound so old and sort of superstitious to so many sophisticated minds today, it's actually reality. And so what's happened is that the leftist juggernaut, the leftist what we call fundamental transformation in this code language, okay, it has reached a point that it is driving people insane. And when I say insane is not really a clinical word that's used anymore. We have different names for different diagnoses in the helping professions. But I'm talking about 1 in 4 American women. 1 in 4, Jerry, are taking antidepressants. Okay, you have a lot of news. The New York Times yesterday had a big story. They went over 60 million death records. I don't know how anybody does that. But they found out that the level of middle-class and younger white people that are committing suicide, that are addicted to drugs, OxyContin and other types of morphine-like drugs, is through the roof, and nobody has any clue why. And I think, the snapping of the American mind, I'm the only person that I know of who in a serious book has actually connected the dots between the leftist transformation of America, which we see in, Obamacare and all the big macro type things that we see, and the individual pathology and wretchedness and brokenness and suicide and mental illness that is going through the roof on an individual level. One is causing the other, and I, as far as I know, I'm the first person to say, hey, this is actually the cause of all this stuff that the left-wing social scientists are saying is happening, but they have no clue why it's happening.
Well, okay, you're not saying that Obamacare is causing all these suicides. What you're saying is that this getting rid of absolute truth, which in effect gets rid of God, okay, but by trying to do that, people are going against the created order, the way God has actually created things. In fact, I love the phrase found in Jefferson. Ultimately, you could say this is Blackstonian, as in the great British jurist William Blackstone. But that phrase, the laws of nature and of nature's God, because that's what so much of the rebellion, the modern rebellion, is against: the laws of nature and of nature's God. But I want you to clarify, surely you're not saying Obamacare is leading to suicides, correct?
No, I'm not saying I cited Obamacare as one example of the whole leftist fundamental transformation, the whole socialist welfare state, the whole thing of wealth redistribution, and enlarging government. You know, the larger government gets, the less, the smaller our freedom gets. All these types of things. I'm saying more. It's not really even Obama so much. He's really, you know, poured
symptomatic
gasoline
of the
on
problem.
The fire.
Okay.
But this, let's just take two things: God and sex. Okay. You mentioned God. If you teach young people in school and through the popular culture in all these various ways, and essentially that there is no God, okay, are you going to tell me that doesn't affect the mental health and well-being of these children? Okay, that completely, we have.
Yeah, it does, because there's no accountability. If there's no God, there's no accountability. And there is ultimately accountability.
And then after that, once you have that, you said, look, truth is relative, do whatever makes you feel good, okay. Then we get to sex. Pornography is, I have three chapters in the book on addiction and on psychiatry and the way they deal with things, but the granddaddy of all addictions is pornography. Pornography is absolutely everywhere. We live in an age, in the age of the internet, where people, unless they are really grounded and they realize that, like, God has standards and he has laws for us to live by, and we don't have to give in to every impulse that arises within us, you have ubiquitous, in-your-face, graphic sexual images everywhere. So I'm talking young people, 10, 11, 12 years old. They go on the online or on their little devices, and they are seeing hardcore pornography is literally everywhere. I'm not breaking news here, but I just want to make the point that when you infect children and old people, everybody, with these images of deep body parts and sex and so forth, and I don't want to get any more explicit than that, but if you actually you expose people to this continually, you are changing people. You are corrupting people. You're changing. You're not just getting them addicted to sex and pornography. It has an infectious way of changing your whole worldview toward God and toward abortion and all the various issues and so forth. It is transformative. And so we look at the college campuses where this crazy hookup culture. By the way, Jerry, there's new research that shows, guess what? That the hookup culture, meaning, casual sex with anything that moves, okay, actually causes mental illness and causes depression and suicide to go through the roof. Well, duh, do we need to have research to tell us that you have girls that are being taken advantage of? This was a survey of freshman women. And of course, they're going to have all kinds of conflict and self-hatred and misery. Because we aren't designed to do that. The Bible says that we're the temple of the living God, and that the human body is sacred. And until this generation, let's say from the Pilgrims all the way through, the World War II generation, the 50s, basically Americans, Westerners, Christian civilization believed that sex is sacred, meaning it's reserved for marriage, mm-hmm. marriage between a man and a woman. I guess we have to say that these days. And all kinds of problems that come out of Pandora's box would never exist if we obeyed that simple, biblical morality. But we don't. We act like that's stupid and hateful and bigoted today. And so there's been the whole sexual revolution. Yes, I absolutely say it has driven an entire population insane. And the evidence of it is the number of people. I add up the number. By the way, all my numbers are like from the Centers for Disease Control mm-hmm, and the mm-hmm. National Institute of Mental Health and, mainstream numbers. you have something in a population of 325 million men, women, and children in America. You have 110 million with sexually transmitted diseases. You have 130 million that are dependent on some form of psychoactive drug. In other words, mind-altering drug, whether it's legal drugs, illegal drugs, or alcohol. Jerry, 130 million, that sounds like all the adults.
It's almost a half.
This is like the entire country is, and that's not even getting into, you know, pornography addiction and all the other addictions morbid obesity and all those kind of things. Just talking about drugs. So we have a very, very troubled nation. But what I'm doing in the snapping of the American mind is I'm surveying the whole culture, the legal and moral world that we live in, and showing that there are reasons things happen. And it's actually very clear. And really, the social science research, the peer-reviewed studies that are mostly conducted by the left, which dominates the social sciences, but even so, it shows beyond question that what we call the far left, okay, is literally insane. In fact, I have one place, Jerry, where I go through. I say this because you're a great Christian writer. I go through the Ten Commandments, and I show how the left not only breaks the Ten Commandments, it is required to. It cannot operate without it. Churchill described socialism as, quote, the gospel of envy. Well, the Tenth Commandment says, thou shalt not covet. But socialism, which we have a major presidential candidate now touting it, is literally rooted in envy.
Yeah.
and covetousness. What about thou shalt not steal? Well, the whole wealth redistribution socialism is all based on stealing. Thou shalt not commit murder. We have 3,000 abortions a day. I go through each of the commandments and I show that actually this is an evil system. It's not just a misguided, naive ideology. At its root, okay, it is evil. Marx was an evil guy. Lenin was an evil guy. They were in profound rebellion against God.
And look at the consequences. By the way, the left, talking about the left not willing to admit things, look at the consequences of Marx and Lenin, just those two guys alone. I mean, look at the tens of millions of people killed in the name of socialism, in the name of specifically of communism, trying to follow the teachings of Marx as if he was correct. And he was not correct. And he was, as you say, anti-God. And by the way, we're talking right now with David Kapelian. We're talking about his book, The Snapping of the American Mind. Is there a website for the book itself?
Yeah, the best place to go is go to snappingoftheamericanmind.com.
Super.
And that will actually go to a page that has all my books. It has The Marketing of Evil.
Good.
And How Evil Works in this one, and the audiobook versions and all that, and then people can read more about it.
Now, I interrupted you about Karl Marx. I think you were going to say something.
He was a very bad dude. But, if you read his life story, he was a no-good, lazy bum, okay, And he was, he was just a rebellion against God, and he came up with this theory, which he considered to be, scientific, just like Darwin, about a dozen years later, with his Origin of the Species, thought that what he had was scientific. Well, both of these theories, Marx and Darwin, became the basis for basically the atheist revolution that we have. If you don't have Darwinism and evolution, what are you supposed to do with all this great stuff when you look up at the sky and the trees and you didn't make it. I didn't make it all. Obama didn't make it. The government didn't make it. So a creator made it. So you had to have a theory, however cockamamie it is, that showed where creation came from. And the same thing with Marx. He basically was Churchill had it right. It's rooted in envy. It's rooted in rebellion against God. It's that phrase, the gospel of envy. I love it because it's almost like it shows that it's a gospel is like a religion. It's a religion, a sacrosanct worldview that even if you show evidence to the contrary, it doesn't doesn't, you know, look, socialism has been tried in something like 40 different countries. It's failed miserably in every single one. And yet here we have a major presidential candidate who's saying, yes, 90% taxes is fine. And you say, yeah, but all the businesses in the country will leave. Don't you understand that? They can't see it. It's like a crazy religion where evidence and the laws of, you know, history, the lessons of history and common sense and the laws of economics, nothing penetrates, Jerry. There's something about denial and something about what's, if you could see it way deep down, if we put a microscope on it, you'd see there really is a rebellion against God and good and evil and God's laws. There's like, I hate that. I don't like the idea of having some, you know, being that's judging me and holding me accountable. I want to do what I want. That's really the naked Marx, the naked, you know, Marxist, the left. They really don't like the idea that there's like a higher power that's lording things and threatening them with hell. Okay, they don't like that, and some of them are honest enough to say so. But that's really what we're coming, what we're dealing with. It all comes down to God and good and evil, and rebelling against Him and aligning ourselves with His will. All these complicated issues, if you look deep enough, that's really, in my view, what they all boil down to.
But this is my Father's world. I mean, the day is coming when all of us will stand before our Creator and give an account before Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, you reap what you sow. So, this is not our own universe where we can create it and make it to be whatever we want to. This is God's world. I love that quote, the one that encapsulates the idea of you reap what you sow, where Paul says, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Wow, what an important truth that we all must, you know, reconcile ourselves to before it's
really
too late.
And, you know, Jerry, I mean, if you look at the last chapter of the book, which is kind of a Christian testimony, and it's really a neat chapter. It's called Messiah's False and True. And, you know, the stage that I set in the beginning of that chapter, which is sort of a cosmic journey out to the end of the universe, out to the Milky Way galaxy anyway, and a little bit beyond, and then back to the nucleus of the carbon atom in the in a man's hand. And I'm kind of basing this on the famous video, The Powers of Ten. What we're dealing with, we're walking in a world where not only is this magnificent, you know, creation that God has made, but like every pebble in my driveway is made up of universes within universes of orbiting particles orbiting other particles. I mean, if we could just like free our minds from, you know, what Trump said about Cruz and Cruz said about Trump and what the gays said today and all this stuff, and just look, this is an unbelievably magnificent, you know, clockwork of creation that we live in. And then that raises the question, why, right in the middle of all that, did God create us, who are so imperfect and so flawed and so broken? What is the reason? There must be a really amazing reason. There must be an amazing potential and destiny that He means for us. And I just would like for people to stop and take a breath and contemplate, like, why are we here? Why, just disengage from all the news and all the troubles of the world and the economy and all that. It's like, why are we here? God, you know, like it's the ancients said, you know, all the famous scientists even before this generation, like Newton, would say, yeah, God is revealed in His revealed word in the Bible, but also in creation. It's there to be a testimony to Him. And I think if we just stopped and said, wow, maybe the Creator of all of this magnificent creation actually has a plan for me, and maybe I'm meant to actually open myself and get quiet a little bit and say, God, what is it you want of me? Okay. It may reorient our thinking a little bit to where we could get back in touch with the common sense that we were born with. I mean, the Bible says, I will, you know, I forget the words, but I will basically place my law in each of your hearts. It's not just in the book. It's not just on the wall on the Ten Commandments plaque. It's written in our heart, whether you call it conscience or the Holy Spirit. And so we lose sight of that. We get tempted away from that, about all the craziness in the world. But we need to, like, just calm down and say, wait a minute. Okay, it is chaotic out there, but what does God mean for me? Well, how am I supposed to live my life? And be open to that. And all there's all kinds of clues in Scripture, of course. And so anyway, all I'm saying in the book is that toward the end, when we get to the part of the book, well, what do we do about this? How do we, you know, you and I, Jerry, and our listeners cannot go and, you know, we can't abolish the IRS and repeal the Federal Reserve Act and all the big things that probably should be done. We need to have enough sense to elect people that may do those things one day. But like right now, we need to not be victims. We need to get close to God, get close to, you know, first principles about things, and first and foremost, ourselves and our families. That is what we can deal with, and mm-hmm. we need to live for God. And then, you know what? We'll be okay, no matter what happens.
Hmm. All right. The book talks about political correctness. You want to comment on that?
Well, political correctness is an insane phrase. What does that even mean? It's code word. It's code. We hear Ben Carson, God bless him, is saying, well, we can't, you know, watch our country and our logic and everything be turned upside down because of political correctness. And he's right, but what is it? What is this weird, demented-sounding phrase?
You know what it is? Here's my definition.
Sure.
Political correctness is essentially liberal censorship before the item is even said, or in some cases, even trying to get at your own thinking. In other words, what you even think in your own mind. So it's liberal censorship before the fact.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can go into the historical part, how it's absolutely Marxist, and it's even Newsweek magazine in its famous 1989, sort of when it first introduced political correctness, the thought control magazine, or thought police. It said, yes, in its origins, it is Marxist. But what you said is better because it's psychologically and spiritually, it is a form of mind control or thought control where you not only, you said it right, you not only can't say what's on your mind, you can't even think what's on your mind. You can't even, you're afraid because it's all about intimidation. And, you know, Jerry, I have a chapter, one of my favorite chapters in The Snapping of the American Mind is chapter 4. It's called Chaos Theory. And it's all about this and about Linsky and political correctness and brainwashing. And I go and I take all the great experts like Robert J. Lifton, who's probably the most famous expert on mind control and brainwashing in the world today, a Harvard professor in his 80s, and I take all of this sort of what can be complicated, and I boil it all down from 10 steps into 3 steps down into 1 step, okay? And the 1 step is intimidation, okay? You know, we hear a lot about bullying. Usually it's the biggest bullies that are doing complaining about bullying, okay, like the LGBT movement. But this mind control, political correctness, brainwashing, it all boils down to intimidation. Inculcating fear and pushing people, threatening, whether it's boycotting or you know, threatening to, with lawsuits and prosecution and persecution and all these things, demonization. What it really comes down to is that most of us we're not really whole enough to be able to withstand it. And if we get enough intimidation, enough pushing on us, we give in. And that's what political correctness is all about. If you're in the corporate world, you're afraid of losing money. If you're on a college campus, you're afraid of being, you know, demonized as a hater. Wherever you are, it all comes down to cruelty and intimidation. And they pretend it's such a righteous thing. It's not. It's BS, okay? It's
bologna actually, sandwiches.
It's yes, right. Exactly. That's what I was going to say, bologna sandwiches. Thank you for keeping me clean here, brother.
Sure.
But listen, it's just that. It all boils down to intimidation and cruelty, and that's how the left gets its way.
Hmm. Wow, that's a good point. Now, you mentioned schools. Schools is where a lot of this really begins to take place, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, you were out here a number of years ago. You saw our little, you know, mini farm here in Oregon, and we homeschooled our kids because we didn't want to feed them to this beast. Public school system is actually the government school system. We like to comfortably call it the public school system. But North Korea is also the People's Republic of Korea, whatever they call it. Everything government and rotten is always called the People's Republic, right? So the schools, it's no secret, are very much in the hands of the left, and in college particularly, it's so far on the left, it's fallen off the edge of the earth on the left side. I mean, we have now social science studies that show that there was a big article called The Coddling of the American Mind in the Atlantic a couple months ago, and it showed, and this, by the way, one of the co-authors of that was a self-proclaimed atheist, progressive liberal, but kind of a, I'm talking about Jonathan Haidt, who wrote The Righteous Mind, and I read the book, and I find him to be kind of intellectually honest, okay, even though I think he's just been brainwashed by his whole academic, but even there, in this, The Coddling of the American Mind, they say that what goes on with political correctness and this policing of speech on campus and the punishment of microaggressions and all this is literally mimicking mental illness, and this is a quote. He says they're literally teaching kids to, quote, think pathologically. So we're, for like $50,000 or $60,000 a year, we are teaching our precious young people to be mentally ill. It's not my opinion, okay? This is, liberal New York Atlantic, okay? Atlantic magazine and website, and published by a prominent liberal left atheist social scientist, saying the colleges are driving your kids insane with this stuff, with this bologna sandwiches that they're teaching. So, I'm just the messenger here, okay?
Yeah.
But so education, look, my kids today are in their 20s, okay? And God bless them. They're both straight-thinking, conservative Christian types who weren't forced to drink the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
They never were diagnosed with ADHD. Do you know one in five high school boys today is diagnosed with ADHD?
No.
And for that, they give them Ritalin and other psychostimulant drugs, which are in the same class as methamphetamine and cocaine, according to federal drug authorities. Okay, so and I have a whole part of the book that talks about, it's one thing we have these problems. You can make things worse when you treat them the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And the way psychiatry treats everything today is with drugs. So here you have somebody who has either not much of a problem. They may be a school kid who does not want to sit still and listen to a horribly boring teacher for 6 hours a day, because it's against their nature. They want to be outside running around and climbing trees. And so we say they're mentally ill and force them to take drugs.
Wow.
Okay. And it's about 2-to-1 boys, okay? It's more boys than girls with this ADHD, but it's about 1 in 10 girls and 1 in 5 boys are being diagnosed with this ADHD, which, by the way, didn't exist officially a generation ago. It's a newly concocted disease, okay? But then when we have people that really are troubled, whether we call it depression or schizophrenia or any of the, serious issues, okay?
We have about half a minute left.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which in many cases, Jerry, is just based on corruption and unforgiveness and trauma to them. They drug them. They need real counseling. They need to find forgiveness. They need to find repentance. They need to forgive their father for betraying them. They don't need drugs. So,
Sometimes the cure is worse than the diagnosis. Okay, how about a closing thought in 15 seconds after I give the website again? It is thesnappingoftheamericanmind.com for more information on this book by David Kepelian, Kepelian. The name of his book, The Snapping of the American Mind. Closing thought in 10, 15 seconds.
I just would invite people to read it because things are so negative, okay? In the end, this is a very positive book because the whole last three chapters are pointing to what on earth can we do to survive this and to change our country and to save ourselves. And the book has been widely praised. If you look at the Amazon reviews, they're all positive, all five stars, saying, wow, right, this is a really good analysis and a very positive book in the end. So check it out.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, David Capellian, The Snapping of the American Mind. For Vocal
Jerry,
Point,
thanks for having me.
I'm Jerry Newcomb. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye now.